The Ishbane Conspiracy. A novel by Randy Alcorn. Read by Frank Muller. December 31, 2:35 a.m. The moonlight cast an eerie shadow through the bedroom window. Jillian Fletcher kicked the blankets to the side of the bed. She lay awake, weary but unable to close her eyes. Tonight a foreboding presence seemed to occupy the room. She wondered if she'd watched one too many horror movies with her friends. Jillian had the feeling she was being watched. She got up and shut the blinds, then peeked out at the elm tree outside her second-story bedroom. For a moment, she thought she saw the glimmer of eyes. She stifled a scream. Then, when she could see nothing, shivered and backed away. She went back to bed and pulled the covers over her as if they were a warrior's shield. Another pointless New Year's party, Jillian Fletcher said, yawning. The only people who aren't drunk are boring or taken, Brittany said. If this doesn't pick up soon, I say we leave and find a real party. Or we could just go home. I'm so exhausted. You need to get a life, Jillian, and I'm just the one to help you do it. Back in a sec. Jillian scanned Adam Brotnov's downstairs family room. There must have been 50 kids. The drinkers were over in their corner, Ty Lott and David Richards tilted back their beers, laughing too loudly at nothing. Jillian watched Ty light a joint. She wondered what her mom would think if she knew her perfect little daughter was at this kind of party. Adam approached Ty. If you're gonna smoke weed, go outside. Ty and David laughed their way up the stairs and out the door. Jillian guessed they wouldn't be back. There were three downstairs bedrooms. One had all the coats, another was a makeout room. The third had a group thing going with a circle on the floor. Jillian guessed it was a game of Dungeons and Dragons. She drew closer to get a look. The lights were out and candles were burning. Two girls and a guy were turning up tarot cards, then interpreting them. One of the guys was Ian Stewart, Brittany's old boyfriend. "Let's go in," Brittany said behind her. "It'll be fun." Brittany sat in the circle, but Jillian held back by the door. "Okay, you drew the magician card," Skyla Stokes said to one of the boys. "That means you have a mastery of words and matter. You have hermetic wisdom." "What's that?" the boy asked. Everybody laughed. "You're a mediator, communicator," Skyla said. "You're a master manipulator of the material world. You can work miracles and do illusions. You are Hermes, god of orators and liars, merchants and thieves. Okay, now draw your other card." He drew. "The Ace of Swords," Skyla pronounced. "It's about the brutal aspect of power. It's about violence and consuming heat." "Ooh," was the general response, but Jillian sensed she wasn't the only uneasy one. "Who's next?" Someone Jillian couldn't see drew a card. "You're the priestess," Skyla said. Jillian stood on tiptoes to see her. It was Tara, a girl from youth group. Her dad was on the church board. "You have the spiritual and intellectual face of the anima," Skyla said. "The feminine nature of the soul. You have primordial feminine wisdom. You know the ancient healing arts, magic and spiritual mystery."
"I do? Cool," Tara said.
More laughter.
"Draw your next one," Skyla said to Tara. She turned up the next card.
"The death card," somebody said.
"Whoa, look out," Ian Stewart said. "Violence, brutal power, death. Everybody be careful driving home." Jillian sneaked out the door, hoping Brittany didn't see her. Death and violence weren't entertaining thoughts.
not with what had happened to her dad. The party was supposed to be a celebration, but why did she feel so vacant? And why did everyone else look so empty, too? Only one semester of high school left. What did she have to look forward to? Jillian got some punch and sat in a chair by herself, staring at the room. After 20 minutes, Brittany finally emerged from the bedroom.
It was cool, Jillian. You really should try the tarot cards. We've got to get some.
Jillian nodded, not saying what she really thought.
Hey, there goes Ian, Brittany said.
Jillian followed Brittany's gaze to the corner couch where Ian was greeting another guy.
You still have it for him, don't you, Britt? That's why you wanted to go in that room. My interest was purely metaphysical, she said. Well, okay, maybe I wanted to reconnect with Ian. We got pretty close, you know, before I had my problems.
Hey, you see who's talking to him?
I see him. Who is he?
You don't remember Robbie Gonzalez?
No, that's Rob. He looks so different with short hair.
Guess I haven't seen him since he graduated last year.
He goes to Portland State, doesn't he?
Yeah, I heard that's where Ian wants to go next year.
Rob looks nice. He looks buff. If I wasn't taller than him, I'd be interested.
Well, I'm not taller than him, and I am interested, Jillian said.
Honey, there's nobody in this room you're taller than. Let's do a bathroom mirror check, then we'll mosey on over their direction.
I'll go, but I'm not going to flirt.
You say you're interested, then you say you're not going to flirt? Make up your mind, sweetheart. I know where I'm headed, right back into Ian's life. Rob's there for your taking.
I'm not going to throw myself at him.
Don't get self-righteous. You've gone conservative on me ever since, well, you know.
Jillian teared up.
You're talking about Dad? I meant since your dad's change, you know, when he got religious and stuff. At first you hated it, but then you started to buy into it. And then
he died, Jillian said, a single tear cutting through her makeup.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, Jill. I didn't mean to bring up your dad.
No, don't say that. I want people to bring him up. Sometimes a few hours go by where I don't think about him and I feel awful.
Do you think he'd want you to feel that way?
Probably not.
Right.
He'd want you to move on with your life. He'd want you to go talk with Rob.
Jillian laughed at the leap in her friend's logic.
I'm not in the mood. Let's see that face. Nothing Bobby Brown Essentials can't repair. I'll get you back in the mood.
Brittany grabbed Jillian's hand and they marched across the room. 5 minutes later, they emerged from the bathroom. Brittany led the way, meandering near Ian and Rob, who were engaged in heavy conversation. Brittany picked up a ladle from a punch bowl, then looked at Jillian and said,
"Yeah, that's true, isn't it?"
She laughed hard and long. Jillian stared at her, then saw the commanding look in her friend's eyes and started laughing herself.
"Britt?"
Brittany, her face full of surprise, turned and looked at Ian.
"Ian? I didn't know you were here."
Ian grinned. "Didn't you see me in the tarot room? I was hoping we could talk. Seems like it's been months. You remember Roberto?"
"Of course. Hey, Robbie. Love your hair."
"Jillian, remember Rob Gonzalez?" Brittany asked.
"Sure. Hi, Rob,"
Jillian said. He nodded and smiled. Ian pulled a love seat over to face the couch.
"Sit down," Ian said.
Brittany sat next to Ian on the love seat, leaving Jillian gazing at the space next to Rob.
"We didn't mean to interrupt," Brittany said.
"No problem. We were getting too serious for a party anyway, right, Rob?"
Jillian sat down carefully, trying to leave the perfect amount of space. The four talked and laughed. Within minutes, Jillian was amazed at how natural it felt, how comfortable she was with these guys, especially Rob. It was like being with old friends.
"Still reading all your metaphysical stuff, Ian?" Brittany said.
"When I'm not playing basketball, and when I don't have a beautiful girl at my side."
"So how do you like Portland State?" Jillian asked Rob.
"Some of the profs are from another planet, but some are pretty cool.
Besides doing a ton of studying, I'm involved with a campus Bible study group.
How's campus life? Jillian asked.
Fine, as long as you stay away from the drugs and the booze and the other stuff, but I really like it. I've been trying to talk Ian into coming next fall, staying in the apartments, maybe being my roommate. I'm sure the basketball coach would like to meet him. So how's your senior year going?
Got senioritis, of course. I'm really looking forward to getting out. Mom says I shouldn't rush it. But I want to get out there, do something. Cheerleading's going great. Church youth group is good. Even work's kind of fun.
Where do you work?
I'm a waitress at Red Robin. Just Thursday nights and the occasional weekend. I get great tips.
Red Robin, huh? Maybe I'll stop by sometime. Rob seemed to blush, then turned toward Ian. When's your next basketball game?
Friday night, home against Grant. Should be a good game.
Maybe I'll come check you out Friday, Rob said.
Great, Brittany said. Then you can see Jillian do her cheerleading. She's a, what do you call it, glider?
Flyer, Jillian said. You mentioned your church, Rob said. Tell me more about it. The more she talked, the more she wanted to. Rob seemed genuinely interested.
11:59, someone shouted.
What? Brittany said. It's almost midnight, Rob said. You've got to be kidding. Last I looked, it was 10:45.
This started out as one of the worst New Year's parties I've ever been at, Jillian said. Now, it's like one of the best.
What do you mean, one of the best? Ian asked, his arm around Brittany.
20 kids gathered around a computer where full-screen digits counted down the seconds. 10, 9, 8.
Ian and Brittany pressed their lips together. Jillian looked nervously at Rob out of the corner of her eye. 7, 6, 5.
Rob moved a little closer to her. She hoped he wasn't close enough to see her freckles through her makeup.
4, 3, 2. Happy New Year, Jillian, Rob said.
Streamers flew, balloons popped, someone beat on pans, and someone else turned up the music. Jonathan from the jazz band blew his trumpet. Everybody laughed.
Jillian felt something she hadn't in months. Maybe it was hope. For the first time since her dad's death, she actually felt like celebrating.
Rob filled 3 punch glasses and handed one first to Jillian, then Brittany, then Ian.
He filled his own glass and lifted it up in the center of their little circle.
To 4 friends, and to the year ahead of us, whatever it may bring.
The 4 glasses clanked, Ian's a little too hard, spilling some punch. They all laughed and drank up.
A cell phone rang. 5 people reached for theirs but drew blanks.
Ian pulled his phone from a pocket on his cargo pants and held it up to his ear.
Yeah, Ty?
Right, still at the party.
Slow down, I can't understand you, man.
You called 911, why?
Ian waved his arm for quiet. People gathered by the couch to listen.
David? He was just drunk, man. I've seen him that way lots of times.
What did you say?
I can't understand. Say it really slow.
Ian's face turned white.
David's dead?
My dearly demoted Foulgrin, so you've just returned from a long visit to the House of Corrections. I trust you found it therapeutic. Beelzebub has made me your parole officer. He instructed me to watch you carefully. When I heard you had the gall to call yourself Lord, why was I not surprised? Even when I supervised you centuries ago, you were my most arrogant agent. Don't bore me with your excuses. You claim your uncomplimentary references to Beelzebub were a trap set for your old understudy Squaltate. I'm uninterested in politics. Keep your mouth shut and do your duty. Let's get some things straight. First, Lucifer gave me the title Prince. I did not assign it to myself. Second, I welcome this new assignment no more than you. To be transferred from directing the American Politics Department to babysitting you is a major downward career move. I read your initial dossier on Gillian Fletcher. You whine that you don't grasp the language and emotions of this young female. But in order to defeat the enemy, you must know the enemy. You must study her, her friends, and family. What matters always is the bottom line. Is she moving away from the enemy or moving toward him? Whoever or whatever draws her toward him must be at the top of your hit list. Eliminate her any way you can. Despite your failure to understand Gillian, you say you're confident you'll succeed. You've seen her up close due to your years assigned to her father, Jordan Fletcher. I have his file in front of me. You failed miserably with him, Foulgrin. Is it your intention to do the same with her? New Year's is one of my favorite seasons. It means Christmas, or as we prefer to call it, the winter holidays, is safely behind us. We've buried the manger under mountains of toys, videos, and designer clothes. But there's always the threat of the carpenter rearing his head and being seen for who he is. The new year always raises hopes in these bloated bags of chemicals the enemy calls his image bearers. We dash their hopes until they become cynical, resigned to eking out their miserable existence. Then they die, and victory is ours. The new year inspires innumerable resolutions broken before the frosts of February. All their efforts at self-reform divert their attention from the enemy's offer of lasting supernatural change. The atmosphere of the party sounded delicious. Drinking, drugs, fornication, pretense, and even the occult. A demon's dream party. That the vermin died from alcohol poisoning is icing on the cake. We've cultivated a youth culture of death and self-destruction. The more the better. I want full reports, not only on Gillian, but the other three young bipeds. Meanwhile, keep them busy. Their parents believe ceaseless activity will keep them out of trouble. What it really does is keep them from pondering what's missing in their lives. They'll never turn their attention to the enemy, not as long as we can lock them onto our long lineup of alternatives. Anticipating your first report, Prince Ishbane.